I want you to, if you would, open your Bible to Genesis. You should all know where that is. That's the easiest one. So our subject tonight will be the Genesis of love, or how it all began. Or what is this thing called love? Seems to be confused today, but we have literature on that also. Well, we'll go slowly. We have a lot of material. At the end of our class, when I see you getting tired, we'll be about an hour. While we'll break, we'll have some refreshments. And we'll have some questions and answers if you want them. And if you don't, why, that'll be fine. And then the next night we'll continue. And it may take us more than a week, but I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, if you'd open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, I'll try to just hit the subjects on love, sex, and marriage. There is a difference. Our aim is for you, as a person, to have a good love life before we even start. We're not here to try to tell you not to do this or not to do that. We're trying to represent the Lord as someone who wants you to have not a good time, but the best time possible. He doesn't want you to have a good time. He wants you to have a super time. And he's taken into consideration that there are men and boys and girls and women in the world. And he knows that opposites attract before we knew it. And he has a design, and he wants you to hit the love index all the way up to 1,000. You know, he really wants you to have a ball. Most people have taught, like God is an old man, doesn't know anything about sex and doesn't want you to have a good time. He wants you to have a great time. Better time than you can ever conjure up for yourself. So we're not trying to tell you not to do something. We're trying to give you a guideline where you can have the epitome. Some guys like to be lovers. You know, who wouldn't like to be a lover? Well, this will show you how to be a lover. There'll be some principles here for men that if you function over those principles, they'll be knocking on your door. Now, I'm telling you the truth. That's the absolute truth. The world is ripe for some male lovers. And women are need men. They really do. So we're not trying to distract from any relationship you have with anybody now or tell you who to marry or who not to marry, but we're trying to tell you that you can get a capacity for whatever relationship you want. If you're in single bliss and you're enjoying it, well, we'll give you capacity to enjoy it further. If you are married and you're happy, well, this will make you slap happy. You're all tight. No one's laughing. Gosh, you're too used to church. All right, look at Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26 and verse 27. You don't have to believe what I say the scripture says. All you have to believe is what you look at it and you make up your own mind. Because after I'm long gone, this passage will be there and you'll be able to look at it and make your same decision over again. Now, in verse 26 and verse 27, we get to the important part of chapter 1. In verses 24 through 31, we have the sixth day of restoration. This is not creation. This is restoration. See, in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the world became void. Something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. And then you have recreation here, or restoration. And verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind. That's an interesting principle, because that's the concept of the fixity of species after its kind. And God never changes his principles. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth, after their kind, and it was so. Verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after its kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So you notice there's a fixity of species, and everything is after its own kind. In other words, what happens if you put a mule and a horse together and they cohabit? Cohabit means to have sex. You're all stiff. What is the offspring of a donkey or an ass and a horse? There is none. All right? After its kind, they can't reproduce. Do you know certain members of the human race that can't reproduce? You're still tight. Hey, you're not relaxed at all. All right. I want you to notice that we have animal lives upon the earth, and it's distinguished from bird life. A bird doesn't become a cow. A cow doesn't become a bird. There's fixity of species here. Now we come to the part that is very interesting in verse 26 and 27. We have a new creation and has never been brought forth before up to this particular point. And this category is called Homo sapiens. Good to see Debbie. We missed you. Verse 26 and verse 27, God said, let us make. I want you to notice that the word us there is plural. It is a plural word. And so immediately we are talking about Trinity. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all equal in character. They all have the same characteristics. And then you have the phrase, let us make. Whether you know it or not, there are 100 verses on creation. We have a little pamphlet back there that says 100 reasons why we believe in creation. It's simply 100 verses that say that God created. But here is one of us, let us make. Now, in the Hebrew language, which is different than the English language, we'll learn a little bit Hebrew tonight. So in case you meet a Jewish fellow, you'll be able to talk to him. Or a Jewish lady. The Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the Greek language of the New Testament, are precise languages. And our English language is not as precise as the language of the Bible is. Now, for example, you have the word make. There are three words for make. One is bara, the other is asa, and the other one is yatzer. Each one of those in the English Bible says make. How do you know which one is which? Well, unless you look it up, you'll never know. Now, this first one here, bara, means to create something out of nothing. You got zero to start with. And you make something out of nothing. Now, the next one, asa, is a Hebrew word that talks about creating something out of existing material. There is something in existence, and you take it and you make something out of it, like clay, for example. The third one means to mold something or to fashion it. So the words are accurate, and you can tell what's going on. For example, this first word, bara, is the creation of the man's inner part of his soul and his spirit out of nothing. The next word, asa, is the structure of the body. In other words, he created the body out of something that existed, which is the soil. The third one, yatzer, means to shape something. In other words, the exterior shape or the structure of the human body. And all three of them are going to be used in our passage. So first of all, we have the expression, God said, let us make, and that's the word right here, asa. And it's used here for the fact that part of man came from things that were already in existence. For example, the chemicals of the soul, or soil. And we'll get to that part in just a moment. Let us make him in our own image after our likeness. In other words, in the material part of man, which has already existed in principle, what does it mean, let us make man in our own image? Now, God is talking. And to make man in his own image, what does it mean? Does it mean that God has two arms and two legs and a head? The answer is no, he doesn't. Asa means here making something out of materials already in existence. And what are these materials that are already in existence? Well, there are three things. God says, let us make man in our image. God has self-consciousness. That means he's aware of things. God has two, moral reasoning or self-determination. And God has, for example, self-consciousness, where he's aware of his own existence. And so when man was created in the image of God, why, then what God gave man was self-consciousness. And he was aware that he was alive, and I think most of us are aware of the fact that we're alive. And then the key for the self-consciousness is the fact of I am, or I exist. You know, that's self-consciousness. I'm aware that I'm alive. You look in the mirror, and you're able to pick yourself out. Now, the moral reasoning factor, the second one, is a power of thought, like I ought to do something. That's moral reasoning. I ought to do this, and I ought not to do that. And then the third thing is self-determination, and we'll bring that up also. Now, this is our introduction, see? God said, let us make man our own image after our likeness, not the body, but the inside of the person, self-consciousness, and so on. Now, this is the introduction to the fact that man has free will. The key is, I will. And from that comes volition. See, self-consciousness and volition. God has volition. And we call that sovereignty. Man has volition, which he can operate independent of divine sovereignty. We call that free will. So we have three things. Self-consciousness. God was aware of his own existence. So when man came into the earth, he had self-consciousness, and he was aware of his existence. Secondly, God had moral reasoning power. And at first, man had his moral reasoning power, and he was restricted to one thing which was forbidden. Don't eat of this particular tree, but it existed. And then thirdly, man was given self-determination, and whereby he could break through God's standards or not. So he had a will, and it was dependent upon him. And he had a will that was free. And he had free will or volition and freedom of choice. Now, the phrase you have here, image of God, was distorted and destroyed when Adam first fell. His self-consciousness was cut off from God, and that made him spiritually dead. The moment Adam sinned, what happened to him? He had to hide when the Lord came to see him. His self-consciousness was limited to other creatures. He no longer had any consciousness of God in his consciousness area. Now, in his moral reasoning area, it was reduced to human consciousness, whereby he can distort things, and everything becomes this or that to him. His self-determination, free will, was limited because he was spiritually dead. And he could only make one decision which would bring him out of it, and that was the decision to accept salvation in Jesus Christ as declared in Genesis 3:15. So the image of God, then, is the concept of the soul, or the essence of God. In other words, God has essence, and he made man in his image, and he gave him essence. So verse 27 says God created man in his own image. In other words, self-consciousness, moral reasoning powers, self-determination, and there is a source of an invisible material part of man, and the real you is the immaterial, invisible part, which is the soul which lives inside of you. And the real you can't be seen. If a surgeon could open you up with a knife, what would he find? Well, he wouldn't find your soul, that's for sure. He wouldn't find your spirit, that's for sure. And he wouldn't be able to cut you open and find your volition. But they're there, that's the point. The point is that they're there, but they can't be seen. And so when they cut you open and perform an autopsy, they would never find that elusive you, which is the soul. And that elusive spirit and that volition. They're there, but they're invisible and they're immaterial. So the image of God that we're made in the likeness of is a part of us that cannot be seen, just as God cannot be seen. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Now I want you to notice the next phrase, because here's where we begin our subject. Male and female created he them. To begin with, he put both of them in one package. We haven't got the woman on the scene yet. I want you to know in this particular passage. She's coming up in a little bit. I don't know whether to make them a square or a circle. You know, most people think that Christians are squares. So I don't know what to do here. But I'll make a square anyway. We'll go along with the tide. It said he created them. In this verse, male and female created he them. There they are, right in there. They're in one package. And that's the principle that starts out, that there is a right man for a right woman, right there. Both of them were in the package. I want you to know one was a male and one was a female. And this is something very important about this phrase. It's a very important phrase. Now, you know that God divided the male from the female. But before God divided male from female, they were both one. One package. To get the principle that God has in mind for you, some person. And you know, people say, don't do this, don't do that. And you say, why not? And they say, because I tell you why. That's why. Well, that doesn't answer it. I say, God has someone for you. So don't do this because you'll mess it up. Because he's got something fantastic for you. Here it is right here. Now we show you what happens to Adam in this situation. So before God divided the male from the female, they were one in one package. And then they were divided. Now here's the point. Here's something that men should know about women. They had certain characteristics that were different. All right? Now, if you were in France in World War II, we had a phrase that said this, vive la différence. You know, hooray for that difference. Now, they have certain characteristics, even though they were one, that are different. Now, it's interesting because one of them was like the sun, S-U-N, and the other one was like the moon. In fact,